Martin Luther once wrote, "There is no more lovely, friendly, and charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage." I am Rob West. Of course, having a good marriage takes work, maybe a bit more work if you're a blended family. Today, I'll talk about a great tool for second marriages with Ron Deal and Greg Pettis. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guests are Ron Deal and Greg Pettis, authors of The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning. Ron, Greg, great to have you back with us today.
Oh, man, it's so exciting to be here. Thanks for having us.
Good to be on.
Well, guys, your book, The Smart Step Family, is loaded with practical financial advice for blended families. I reference it on this broadcast often, but in particular, I want to focus on one area where you've come up with a way for couples in that situation as a blended family to promote peace and unity in their marriage. It's called the Togetherness Agreement, and I'd love for you to start there. What is it, and why is it so important?
Well, let's just start with the context for what we're talking about. Couples who form a relationship when they've had a previous life, if you will. Maybe one of them's brought children to the relationship. They are often in middle age or later in life. They have a history, a financial history. They have debt. They have expense. They have all kinds of investments that perhaps they've been working on for years. And now we're merging. But we're not just merging money. We're merging relationship. We're merging children. We're merging parenting styles. We're merging some sort of loss, death, or divorce has preceded this new marriage relationship. All of that rolls into any conversation about money. I just don't think people realize how complicated that is. It's one thing to say, oh, you know, so you've got what, three bank accounts, and I've got two bank accounts, and we got all these investments. Let's just put all the money together. Well, no. Immediately, it starts to be about, trust. And it's about, well, I couldn't trust the former spouse because they took me for every dime I had. So how am I going to make sure that doesn't happen again? It's about provision for me and for my children. I've got an aging parent. How do I care for them? It is about all of those dynamics rolled up into a conversation about how many bank accounts you have. And so when we sat down, Greg and I and our other co-author, David, sat down and said, we want to write a book about financial planning in blended family situations. We have to take into consideration all of these dynamics. So we haven't just created something in the Togetherness Agreement. Greg will tell you a little about that in just a second. It's not just about money. It is about providing and loving well and caring and creating trust in your relationship that goes the distance.
Exactly. It's about clarity on so many of these, like you said, emotionally charged issues. When we said, I do, his kids, her kids, their kids, what did we mean? What were the details around our vision for an optimistic future together? And so we find that the Togetherness Agreement provides clarity to these emotionally charged issues. And in essence, as one couple said, we're writing the rules for our marriage with love and respect for both parties.
And that's what's so key here, is that we want to let love and respect lead, and yet there are very real practical issues that we have to navigate. And Ron, to your point, money issues are heart issues, right? So money is symptomatic of a deeper underlying spiritual values-based conversation that does surface some really tough and yet exciting conversations if we'll lean into them. The question is, we need a roadmap, or how do we get a roadmap to navigate that?
You know, a lot of things about blended families, including marriage and navigating money, have to do with the pain of the past. And pain creates fear. Right? My last spouse really hurt me. I don't want to have that happen again. So I'm going to be guarded with you. Well, you know, fear is not a good way to make decisions about anything. Spiritually, that doesn't work. You know, we don't want to approach God that way. We don't approach the people we love that way. And so we try to help people create this togetherness agreement so it eliminates fear, so that it is no longer a barrier to our oneness.
Well, I'm looking forward to continuing to unpack this. What does it actually look like? Is it a binding legal agreement? What goes into it? What about some of those touchy situations that will come up? What about a business? We'll deal with this and much more. Ron Diehl and Greg Pettis with us today, authors of The Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. Just around the corner, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. I hear it all the time. I'm sharing my faith, but nothing's happening, or the people I talk with aren't any closer to coming to Christ than they were before I spoke with them. So what are you doing wrong? Not a thing. You can't force anyone to accept Christ. Only God's Holy Spirit can save anyone. The Apostle Paul admitted his weakness, his lack of eloquence, and God greatly used him. Remember Moses? When God called on him, he said, "Ask someone else." When Jesus commanded you to go and proclaim the gospel, he also promised to be with you every step of the way. And not only would he be with you, but the Holy Spirit would give you the words to say, and his word never returns void. Share your faith and let God's Holy Spirit do the rest. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically-based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Joining me today are good friends Ron Diehl and Greg Pettis, authors of The Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. How do you navigate financial decisions with a blended family? And how do you even memorialize those decisions once you have those conversations? And how do you do it in a way that's respectful and loving? Well, today we're talking about a great tool that Ron and Greg refer to in their book called a togetherness agreement, where it provides a roadmap for having these conversations and then memorializing them. And Greg, you actually advise folks to make this agreement, the togetherness agreement, a binding legal contract. How will that help? And well, the marriage itself is a binding legal contract.
Yes, it's a great question, and we get it a lot. First of all, it provides specifics that are not clearly outlined in that general marriage binding contract. For example, I mean, the simple is, how many accounts should we have? Should we combine everything together all at once or have two or three accounts? Who gets the business? What does fair mean? Is fair always equal? Hmm. what are we going to do for our special needs child? What about the rights and roles of, well, grandchildren, step-grandchildren, grandparents, step-grandparents, any party who has a loving interest in our future can be a part of the togetherness agreement. It'll also help the team, your whole financial team, the financial advisor, the attorney, the CPA, all your agents. They need to have an overarching document that explains why did we decide to do this?
Yeah.
Why? What were we thinking when we did that? And so forth.
You know, as Greg was talking, I was thinking, yes, marriage is a legal binding relationship. And yet, do you want to leave the future to the legal system of your assets and your money? You know, we've talked before about if you are married to somebody and spend 25 years together and your spouse dies and leave you all the assets, and then you marry again in midlife, but don't make specific documents dictating where you want your money to go after you pass away. If you pass away,
yes,
and your second spouse marries somebody else, and then they die, all of a sudden, all your money goes to that person's kids, somebody you've never met, them and their children, instead of your children, unless,
that's right.
You know, that's called inheritance drift, right? It just sort of moves away from you. And nobody intended that. It just sort of happened. Unless you've made provision for where you want your money to go after your death. And in this case, and in that case, I should say, your children are provided for, you're provided for, your aging brother, sister, parent, whatever. Yes. Whatever you're invested in goes where you want it to go. You don't want to just leave it to the legal system. You want to tell that system what to do with the things that you cherish.
That's so important and probably something that most folks haven't considered. Well, perhaps, guys, a story, an example would help to illustrate the power of this tool, the togetherness agreement. In the book, you include a story about a couple, Anthony and Jenny. What was their situation and how did this tool help them?
Greg's going to tell you in a minute a little bit about some of the specifics of what they came up with, but let me just set the stage. This goes back to how we started our conversation, the complexity that blended families often face. So Anthony has children. He also owns a company that he's been invested in most of his life that he's been building, and he meets Jenny, and she's a CPA. She's pretty successful. She's 36 years of age. She has children of her own, and she has an aging mother. Okay, so on the surface, when couples say things like, you know, I love you, you love me, we're going to be a happy family, and I assume that means you'll just care for my kids if something terrible happens to me, and I'll take care of your mother if something terrible happens to you. And the best of intentions don't necessarily work out that way just because you love one another. You really need to put it in writing. You really need to think it through. You really need to talk it through, because it could be that in the course of doing their togetherness agreement, Anthony, he's got an assumption that his oldest son gets his company. He's shown an interest in it. He's been invested in it. He's interned there. He went to college with the intent of learning how to run a business, and he's going to come back and work with dad. And then if dad ever retires, that's been in the works for years before Jenny ever showed up.
Yes.
But if he doesn't express that clearly and openly, Jenny may have some assumptions of her own about what happens if he were to pass away. What happens to the company? Maybe she's got kids that are interested in that business. Okay, so who's going to be in charge with that next generation of leadership? See, that's the sticky business, getting down into the weeds. A togetherness agreement helps you get proactive so that you have a dialogue and make those decisions before you ever have to deal with it. Greg, remind us what Anthony and Jenny, some of the things that they worked out.
Yeah, so Anthony was a 44-year-old, very successful construction company owner. And as you said, Ron, he had two boys that he had promised were going to get the company one day. Unbeknownst to Jenny, however, during their courtship and dating, he didn't disclose he had a gambling problem with some debt, had a low credit score, had a very controlling ex-wife, etc. Now, on the other side, Anthony didn't know that Jenny had really spent a lot of her hard-earned money taking care of her mother, who was aging, as you mentioned. And she had promised her that, hey, Mom, one day you can come live with me. You know, I'll do whatever I can do to help you get through this. And so, you know, during the courtship, these things just don't come out. So often is the case. And so the first thing that the togetherness agreement did is it created an arena for disclosure, an atmosphere for full transparency, which then created a mutual respect. Jenny found out about, you know, Anthony's gambling problem, felt compassion, and they were entering him into a counseling session to get his credit score up. Meanwhile, they were going to, they agreed to have one joint budget account, but to keep two individual accounts until Anthony could raise his scores and get over this gambling problem. They also agreed that though Jenny and her daughter would not receive the company, working with an attorney, they would create a trust and place some life insurance in the trust for Jenny and her daughter. They also worked with their agent to create long-term care solutions for the mother and to provide clarity about their future, which really relieved both of them of a lot of stress and reaffirmed their commitments to each other in a way that they really couldn't go that deep without a togetherness agreement. Now, theirs was a legal document drafted by their attorney, but I wanted to make this point clear. Just having the discussion, just sitting down and even just jotting some things on a legal pad or the back of a napkin will create that first step of transparency in disclosure that will then help navigate these emotional issues.
That's so helpful. Boy, we are about out of time, guys. We're going to have you back because there is so much more I want to talk about here. Ron, quickly, when should this be done?
You know, ideally today. And so if you're dating somebody, now's the time to start having that conversation. And if you're already married and you go, man, we've never really talked about this. I have a lot of assumptions. We've never checked in with one another. Okay, then start today. And the book's designed to help you get a plan and start moving that direction.
I love it. It's an absolutely essential tool for a blended family. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pick up a copy of the Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning at familylife.com/blended.
Back with much more just after this. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know. It's already November.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Great to have the team from Family Life blended with us today, Ron and Greg. And I'll tell you, that resource, the Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning, is a great tool. If you have a blended family and you're looking to make God-honoring decisions to get your financial house in order and think through some of these wealth transfer and estate planning type issues in particular, using the Togetherness Agreement, this is a great resource for you. Be sure to pick it up. You can also find them on the web at Family Life Blended. Well, we'd love to hear from you today. Let's turn the corner and deal with any financial topic. What's on your mind today? You can give us a call at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we do that and head to the phones, you know, this week we're really excited to share some of the special testimonies we receive every day from listeners like you. We're so grateful when you write to us and tell us how God is using his principles shared on this program in your lives. We heard from a listener just last week that said, this program is so good. You're helping me to save more and spend less. Your biblical approach to financial health is so needed. Valerie in Georgia said, your ministry has taught me well over the years. So many still referencing the late Larry Burkett. We're grateful for that. Valerie goes on to say, I've remembered these principles and I'm working toward being financially free. Thank you for what you're doing. Greg in Tennessee says, you guys are fantastic. The MoneyWise app has revolutionized the way I manage the Lord's finances through my fingers. Glory to God, and thanks for all you're doing for the kingdom. Folks, if you've followed and applied God's financial wisdom for any length of time, we know that you also have a testimony of God's faithfulness. And here's my question. Would you like to help us teach and train others? If you do, please consider sending a monthly or a one-time gift to MoneyWise by December 31st as we head toward the end of the year. This is an important season for us as we rely on listener support to not only finish the year strong, but plan for our ministry activities next year. You can simply head to moneywise.org and click the Give button on the homepage. Again, give at moneywise.org. You'll find a way to give securely online, through the mail, or over the telephone. And thanks for your consideration and generosity. We're very, very grateful. All right, let's take your phone calls today. What's on your mind? 800-525-7000 with lines open. Our team standing by to take your call. We're going to begin today in Pennsylvania. Isabel, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you, Rob, and thank you, team.
Thank you. Sure. Go ahead.
So I am calling because I have an unresolved issue that started after my mom's death in early 2020. It was a sudden death. I was her custodial on some savings that she had, you know, from a lawsuit that she won. And one of my brothers, I have two surviving siblings, he knew about the lawsuit and the money that she received from it through a letter, not through my mother. And there was a reason why she did not want anyone to know, because he historically has not known how to be a good steward of his money.
Yes.
And now, you know, since then, there's been a lot of turmoil, and I've been accused of just, you know, spending that money and not letting him have, you know, his part, which is not true, because I've taken from those savings, I've taken money to cover her funeral expenses, which was actually what her intention was, to keep that money for any family emergencies. And also have given him from those savings money to survive through, you know, the COVID and the changes, losses of job, health conditions that he experienced. But that seems not to have been enough for him.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So what is your main question today, Isabel?
So my main question is, you know, what would be the best way to resolve this turmoil that, you know, has turned into more of taking over my peace? And not only is the savings, but we had a small piece of land in our country in Central America that she also left without having any allocating it. But he has taken the a self decision to, you know, start pretty much making it his land without the consent of others. So my concern is mostly he has historically abused any money that has come into his hands, you know, with women, alcohol addictions, and it's a really, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty around this.
Yes. Was she a U.S. citizen?
Yes.
Okay. Did she have a will?
No.
Okay. So when you pass away and you don't have a valid will, it's called dying intestate, which just means it's the term for that situation. And the deceased person's property then is distributed according to the state's intestacy succession laws. So it's supervised by the probate court, who has jurisdiction over the estate. Then the court typically holds a hearing on the petition, and if there's no valid will, then they appoint an administrator to serve on behalf of the intestate estate. Has that process started?
No, none of us has taken, you know, this to the courts. I actually thought that it would just be resolved among us.
Yeah. Let's do this. I've got to hit a quick break, Isabel. You stay on the line. We'll pick this up on the other side of it. I'd love to give you my thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. Just before we were talking, before the break, we were talking to Isabel. Isabel's in Pennsylvania. She's dealing with her mom's estate, and she and her siblings are having some disagreements about the division of the remainder of the assets after the final expenses. Isabel has been handling the estate since well before her mother's death and providing care. And at least one of her siblings has really made poor decisions, has a history of making poor decisions with financial affairs. And so she's wondering, how do you navigate the relational side and do the wise thing to also honor her mom's wishes as her estate is passed on? Isabel, you know, typically when somebody dies intestate, which is what the term for dying without a will, it naturally can lead to a large, you know, disagreements among family members. And that's why the state's intestate succession laws are designed to prevent that to whatever extent possible by designating how a deceased person's assets are distributed to family members. Once you petition the probate court, then they select a representative to oversee the process according to the state's intestacy laws, and those decisions are made. Apart from that, obviously, you've got to deal with both the financial side, which is, you know, you've got someone here that, you know, is not making wise decision with finances, but you also have the relational side, which you want to try to preserve as much as possible. You know, I think one option to preserve the relational side would be just to let the probate court handle it and make those decisions. And ultimately, you know, you're not responsible for, you know, what someone does with their portion of the estate. And if you decide not to go that route and, you know, eliminate one or more family members from this, obviously there's going to be a huge relational fallout from this. So where are you at now today? What are you thinking your next steps are going to be?
Like I said before, I had already been withdrawing from those savings to distribute to one of my siblings who has found himself in hardship financially. Yeah. Which is the one that doesn't handle his own finances very well. So I just was already kind of going in the route of, you know, I do have two surviving siblings. The elder sibling said to me, I trust you. I know you will do what is best. I still am uncertain by your advice. It's certainly something that I will consider, perhaps, you know, so that I don't have the burden of, you know, carrying on, broken relationship, which is already the case because we did not grow up together, neither one of my siblings.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I think that needs to be at the forefront here, and realizing that you're not ultimately responsible for the decisions that are made once the estate is distributed. And if you can preserve the relationship, I think that's paramount here. And I would perhaps just consider, after all the final expenses are made, petitioning the court to go through the probate process, or just distributing equally what remains, recognizing that it was your mom. She was the steward of this. She's left it. She has these children. And to the extent that was her wishes, I think, you know, you can proceed accordingly and feel good that you've at least done your part, both while she was alive and now after her passing. And let's just pray and trust that the Lord will restore those relationships over time, knowing that that is of utmost importance. Isabel, we'll certainly be praying for you as you navigate this. I know it's not easy, so you hang in there. Ask the Lord to give you some wisdom, and I'm confident you'll make the right decision. We appreciate you calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Ohio. Hi, Rita. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband and I lived in Colorado for 17 years, and then we moved back to Ohio. In Colorado, we made wills, but we have not made wills in Ohio. Do the Colorado ones still work in Ohio, or should we make new wills for the new state?
Yeah, you do want to have it reviewed. Anytime you're moving out of state, Rita, you absolutely need to revisit your estate plan to make sure it's valid and structured in the way your new state requires. Understanding state-specific estate planning laws really is crucial to spare your loved ones any additional grief on top of your loss at your passing. So I would make a relationship with a godly estate planning attorney there in the state of Colorado, you've moved to Ohio. And so perhaps someone there in your new state that could at least review what you have and then update it as necessary.
What happens if my husband decides not to make a new will? Yeah, it's a blended family, adult kids.
Okay, so you're... I understand that. So I think the key is for him to understand that you all want your wishes to be carried out, whatever those might be. Are there unresolved issues or questions, Rita, with regard to how you all want your estate handled with regard to the kids that you had prior to your marriage? Has all of that been discussed and settled?
Well, when we made out the wills, we agreed to it.
Okay.
So... I mean, it includes, you know, his kids for his estate, my kids for my estate.
Yes.
Actually, I've included his kids, too, based on portions of the estate. But I don't know why he's hesitating.
Okay. Well, I think the key here is, you know, money issues are hard issues, and they're often symptomatic of deeper issues beneath the surface, whether that's related to trust or could be spiritual issues. I mean, there could be a whole host of things. Often it's not about the money. It's about kind of everything else. And if this conversation is really surfacing the need for additional conversation about the decisions you all made when you first put this will in place, perhaps this is a time to revisit that and work through it. You know, where we started our program today around this idea of a togetherness agreement, that's really the idea. We want to honor one another in love, recognizing two become one, including our finances. But when we have kids from prior marriages and we have assets that were accumulated prior to marriage in a blended family, it does require some additional planning. And that can be done in love with the utmost of respect and trust, and decisions can be made with regard to how portions of your estate, again, that was established prior to this marriage, is handled with regard to distribution to other kids or kids from a prior marriage. And if there perhaps was a change of heart, maybe he wasn't fully on board when the decisions were made, then that needs to be discussed. If not, I think your appeal to him is, listen, whatever we have decided and currently want to have carried out today, we want to make sure that that's in force, because we don't want the court making this decision for us. We want to make sure that our wishes are reflected. And the only way to do that is to have a valid will that's up to date, especially in light of the laws of your particular state. So this is really just about a stewardship matter of being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you all. And you can't be a good steward if you don't have a will that says, here's how we want God's money to be distributed. So make this a matter of prayer and then ask your husband to go visit with an attorney with you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
We've reached the time of the year when people in northern climates start thinking about snow. Southerners may not understand, but nothing would bring a smile to a northern child's face like a school day. It was too dangerous to go to school, so you have to stay home. Did you ever experience that? Sleeping in, then playing in the fresh, white-driven snow? What days those were. You know, there really are few things as white and pure as a fresh snowfall. And that's why we read this in Isaiah. Come now, let's settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Good news for sinners. Anchor Devotional is available in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Before we go back to the phones, we have been celebrating our partnership with Operation Christmas Child over the last several weeks. We're so grateful for the work of Samaritan's Purse and all that they do to distribute nearly 200 million shoeboxes since 1993, literally all over the globe to children in more than 170 countries and territories to spread the hope and joy and love of Jesus Christ and gifts at this wonderful time of year. National Collection Week is going on right now through November 21st, and you can find out where locations are as well as all the details on how you can pack your own shoebox to be a part of this at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. We're delighted to be joined today for this segment of the broadcast for just a few minutes by National Spokesperson for Operation Christmas Child, Judy Lopez. Judy, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be part of this amazing opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, Judy, I love to see, I remember, I think it was last year that Franklin Graham tweeted out a video of a little boy, and I don't remember what part of the world he was in, but I remember seeing him receive his shoebox, and he was jumping up on the table and dancing around and, you know, holding this shoebox up and the biggest smile on his face. And it just, it was incredible to see the joy that was brought to that little boy as a result of receiving that shoebox. And what's amazing is that you were actually the recipient of one of these shoeboxes, Judy, growing up in an orphanage in Honduras. Would you tell us that story and how you were impacted by this ministry?
Yes, definitely. So I, like you say, Mr. Rob, I did grow up in an orphanage in Honduras. And from the day that I was born till 16, I grew up in 14 different orphanages. And at 2 years old, that's when I got separated from my siblings, including my twin sister. But I knew that God's plan for my life was different. At that moment, I didn't. But later on, I did. And I remember at 2 years old, that's when I went to another orphanage. And the orphanage started with only 5 kids. And then it grew up to 550 children. At the beginning, we didn't have electricity. There was no water. And if we had 3 meals, it would be more like a tortilla and salt. But one thing that I was so grateful to have was an education, because in so many of the orphanages in Honduras, the children did not have the opportunity to go to school. I remember being only 6 years old. I was in my classroom. I was only in second grade when we received an Operation Christmas Child Shoebox gift. Wow. And I remember that was so special when I received it.
Hmm. I love that. You know, Judy, as you well know, it's not only the gifts in that shoebox that just bring incredible joy to these youngsters all over the world, but there's a letter that goes along with it from the sender. And that letter was pretty special to you in your journey, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I mean, for me, it was special because I remember being 6 years old, receiving a gift for the first time and knowing, hey, this is mine, and I don't even have to share it with anybody else in the orphanage, because, I mean, if there was a pair of shoes, you have to share it with everybody. But I remember when I saw the note, I even asked one of the missionaries that was serving us that day, excuse me, ma'am, what is this note says? And she said it in my own language, Spanish, Jesús te ama y yo también. Jesus wow. love you and I love you too. So for me, at that moment, I was more excited about all the items inside of my shoebox gift. But then when the shoebox made an impact in my life was at the age of 13 years old, because in that moment, I was feeling hopeless. I was feeling lonely. I felt that God was really far away from me simply because I was an orphan. But also, too, I was just angry at God because in my orphanage, if you were a girl, you were not allowed to play soccer. So I remember having a box similar to the shoebox. And in that box, yeah. I had that note that I have received when I was only 6 years old, when I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. That note that simply said, Jesus, love you, and I love you too. And that day, at 13 years old, I embraced God's love.
That is incredible, Judy. How do these shoeboxes result in evangelism? How is it that these children come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through this outreach?
Yes. So when a child receives a shoebox, like in a third world country, they are invited back again to come back, and they receive like a booklet, which is like the 12 lesson discipleship program, where they come and listen to all the Bible stories and like in 12 weeks. And then not just that, but also too, they have the opportunity to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But as well, after they graduate, I mean, they finish the whole entire program, they graduate and receive a Bible in their own language. And I mean, it is because it's not about what it goes in the shoebox. All those gift, the items and everything, it is about what it goes beyond, which it is sharing the good news, which is Jesus Christ. So it is unique just to be able to not just pack the shoebox, but also to impact the child, but not just the child, the family, the village, and even the entire community. So it is unique what a simple shoebox can do.
That's incredible. Well, the good news, Judy, as you know, is there's still time to be involved for Operation Christmas Child 2022. So what do our listeners need to know if they want to pack their own box and be a part of this incredible work?
Yes. So first of all, I just want to encourage everybody who has been, I mean, who is hearing this interview right now, I want to encourage them to continue packing shoe boxes because we still have time. Our goal is, already you say it, Mr. Rob, that we are going to 200 million shoeboxes. And I know that together as the body of Christ, you know, like we can do this. And I know that it takes a village, you know, to be able to do this. So I know that together we can continue impacting so many kids for his kingdom. So if they want to know more about how to pack a shoebox, I will encourage them to go to operationchristmaschild.org and they will find, I mean, SamaritansFirst.org, and they will find a lot of information on how to pack a shoebox. And it gives them instructions specific and what to pack and what not to pack. But excellent. I will encourage them to not just pack the shoebox. I want to encourage them to pray. Pray for the child that is going to receive the shoebox. Because sometimes we do not know, and we don't need to know who is the child that is going to receive that shoebox in a third world country. But by simply praying and packing that shoebox, we are being missionaries. And that's what Matthew 28 is calling us go. Yes. It's calling us to do, to go and make disciples. And that's what we're doing. So I just want to encourage them to pack shoeboxes because it does make a difference like it did in my life.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, Judy, thank you for stopping by today. We're so excited to be a part of this great work, and we're delighted our listeners can be involved as well. God bless you, Judy.
God bless you too, Mr. Robin. Thank you for that opportunity.
Absolutely. Folks, if you want to be a part of this, head to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You can find your drop-off location. You can see helpful information on how you can pack a shoebox or even build one online and impact a child in some part of the world, just like Judy Lopez was impacted, as we share not only these gifts at Christmas time, but really the hope and joy of a salvation through Jesus Christ, which is really what it's all about. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. All right, here in our final moments of the broadcast today, quickly to Louisiana Ken. You've been very patient. How can I help you, sir?
First of all, thank you for taking my call, Rob.
Yes, sir.
My wife and... Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, yes, my wife and I are both retired. My wife's been retired for 2 years. She has a 401k that's still with the banking system where she worked. I just retired about 5 months ago, and I have my 401k at my previous employer too. My question was, at what point should we consider rolling that over to a financial planner?
Yeah.
Her 401k is down about 20%, but mine is down about 2%.
Okay. Well, that's great given the market. What do you think you have, Ken, combined between the two accounts, roughly?
Two accounts is about $1.5 million.
Okay, great. So you all have obviously lived modestly. You've prioritized saving. You've built up quite a nest egg here. And as you enter this next season of life and ask God what your next assignment is, I'm delighted to hear that in addition to Social Security, you've got plenty of assets here that can help support whatever God has called you to. That's great. You mentioned an advisor, and I think this is the time, Ken, to go ahead and connect with and select that advisor who's going to serve you through this next season of life. Here's the thing. You guys have worked really hard and a long time to build up this wealth. The last thing you'd want to do is just put it on autopilot. So I think having a trusted advisor who shares your worldview, understands your values, but also has significant experience and competency in designing and managing portfolios, not based on their objectives, but based on your goals and objectives. How much risk do you want to take? How much income do you need to pull from this? What's the right mix of investments? And what's the best strategy over the long haul? Well, all of these questions can be answered by an advisor who would take responsibility for managing this. And once you select the advisor, you'd roll those two 401ks into a new IRA, well, two of them, one for each of you, at the custodian that advisor uses. So I'd head to moneywise.org, moneywise.org, click find a CKA, that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. I'd do a zip code search, interview two or three, and find the one that is the best fit for you. And once you make that selection, I think you'll have a lot of peace of mind. All the best to you and your wife, Ken, in this next season of life. God bless you guys, and thanks for calling today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today on MoneyWise. Have a great rest of your day. I want to say thank you to my team, Robert, Devin, and Pat. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.